we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name's Bob Arthurs. Look forward to spending the next half hour with you right here on 91.5 FM WMIE or WWBC 1510 AM if you happen to be listening at 10:30. So thank you for making us part of your day. We want to start off by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. If you have AT&T, you need to put a 321 in front of that, 321-536-5804. If they can help you with any of your block or concrete work, give them a call. They will be glad to come out, take a look, give you an estimate. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, they do excellent, excellent work. They have for me, and I'm sure that they will do that for you. They've got lots and lots of experience here in Brevard County, decades of experience, as a matter of fact, and they really know what they're doing. Recently, I was considering doing something, and it was out of my area that I had any experience with, and I said, you know what, the price of my learning curve on that might be a little bit more than what I'm really care to experience. And so I took a pass on that. If you don't know what you're doing with block or concrete, you are going to have a learning curve. And so I want to encourage you, call the professionals. They can do it for a price that is going to be right there comparable with how much it would cost you just for the materials. And the result of it will be you'll have had professionals that do it, and you will get professional results to go along with that. So give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell Greg you heard about him right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. Coming up this Sunday, we're going to be participating with Island Community Church. There's a concert there with Stan Schumann, who is from the group Midnight Cry. There's a concert that begins at 5 p.m., and then there's a time of fellowship that's after that. And so if you have in your schedule the availability to come and participate in that, we encourage you to do so. Island Community Church is located on North Banana River Drive, just north of the Triangle a little ways. It's a little bit south of Audubon Elementary School. It's on the east side of the road. And Paul Esposito's the pastor there. He's the manager of the radio station here, pastors that church. So give them a call if you'd like more information, 321-453-4656. And we look forward to seeing you there. Merritt Assembly of God, we're going to be setting aside our adult Sunday night service. Our youth will still be meeting. Our JBQ will still be meeting. But our adults are going to go over and support this concert that night. And so we look forward to seeing you there at 5 o'clock. So we are looking right now at Isaiah chapter 61. We've been here in chapter 60 and 61 for so long, my Bible just kind of naturally flops open to that passage right now. But the verse that we're looking at is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So we have been looking at what does it look like? What is the purpose of the Spirit of the Lord being upon us? We know that this passage was ultimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 4. He read that passage and told them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But the Bible is full of people who were, it was said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon them, or God moved upon them. And so we're looking at, what does that look like? What is the function of it? Why does that happen? What should our life look like with the Spirit of the Lord being upon us? See, I don't want that just simply to be a statement over my life. I want the manifest reality of it taking place in my life. And so today we're going to start in Acts, the 21st chapter. Acts, the 21st chapter, verse number 7, and it says, "And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" And so I wanted to mention this to you because when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person and they begin to speak in a "Thus saith the Lord," it is to prepare God's people for what is getting ready to happen. There was a time where people prophesied that a famine was coming. And it said, and this famine came during such and such a time. And as a result of that, the Christians began to prepare for the famine that was going to impact those in Jerusalem. So it is very, very important that when God speaks to us, that we begin to act in this preparation mode. I remember our first December that we did this radio broadcast. I did a series during that month on the preparation that went in to the scriptures in order for Jesus to be born at the time that he was. God is a God who is very much into preparation. A lot of times people like to fly by the seat of their pants. They like to fly spontaneously. And many times we say, "Oh, well, I just felt like that was the thing that the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to do." And that can happen. But I want you to understand that the Spirit of the Lord can also move in a manner so that you and I are informed so that we can prepare. Spontaneity is not synonymous with the Spirit of the Lord moving upon us. You know, I realized a couple of years ago, it was a breakthrough moment for me. And I realized that God could send financial provision for the projects that we needed to do. He could send that at the beginning of the year just as easily as he could send that at the end of the year. And I'll tell you, the next year was absolutely the best year that I have ever pastored, because everything that we need to do, we pay for it as we go. Merit Assembly of God had a history when I came there that they owed money that they could not repay. And so we made a conscious decision that when we became debt-free, that we wanted to stay debt-free. And so the bills that we have come in, as soon as they come in, we pay them. We don't like to be servant to the lender. We want to be able to pay for things as soon as they come in. And so if the provision isn't there, then we do whatever is necessary to make sure that we can hang in there until the provision takes place. So we do preparation. If you're going to paint your house, there is preparation that needs to take place before you start painting your house. You've got to tape off the windows. You've got to clean all of the dust off of the surface, and you prepare. You put drop cloths down, and you get your rollers and your painters and or your paint and your ladders and all of those sorts of things. There is preparation that is involved there. And I just thought of this as I was preparing to come over here. Why is it such a stretch for us to believe that God is a God of preparation? I want you to know that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from before the foundations of the world. Before man was ever created, before the earth was ever formed, Jesus had already committed to going to the cross. That's preparation. that you and I were formed and God had purposes for our creation before we were, before the foundations of the world, before we were ever born. There was a purpose for that. And so that says there's preparation. Galatians chapter 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, Jesus sent his son to be born of a virgin. And so that involves preparation. How much preparation are you doing? It's not a stretch for me to believe that the Holy Spirit knows what is going to happen before it occurs. This is one of the concepts that people who are looking for a reason not to believe the Bible utilize to justify their position of unbelief. They say, how in the world could Isaiah prophesy about a guy by the name of Cyrus hundreds of years before Cyrus is ever going to decree that the children of Israel come out of captivity, return to their homeland, and restore the walls and the temple of Jerusalem? There's no way. There's no way that Daniel could predict with such precision the things that he prophesied, the things that God had revealed to him about the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans and those about how those transfers of power and authority were going to take place. They say there's no way that that could be known in advance. This has to be written retroactively. And my response is very simple. The author of the book, the author of a book, knows which way the story is going to go. He knows the plot. When they are doing an animated movie, Disney created this thing called the storyboard where they plotted where the story was going to go before the script was ever written. How much more so does God know what is taking place in the realm? See, God is not limited to this realm of time the way that we are. He is the eternal God. He existed before time existed, and he will exist after this window that we call time has long ceased to exist. He is the eternal God. He knew what was going to happen when they put him on the cross. He knew what was going to happen after they put him on the cross, and he knows what's going to happen for you and I. And so we believe that God, when he speaks, he is speaking the wisdom of God. He is calling people back. When he speaks prophetically through a man or through a woman, he speaks to call people back into relationship with God. He informs them that he knows where they are. He knows the condition of their heart and what the solution to that situation is. And that is quite simply, repent and return to the Lord your God. And he also speaks to us to prepare us. Now, I want you to know that this was not the first time that Paul had heard this message. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 23, Paul is speaking. He says, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. And he wasn't deterred from the difficulties that may lay ahead. You know, if you know that turbulent waters are coming, you begin to prepare for that. One of the most vicious hits in football is not the hit that people see coming their direction. It's the blow that they don't anticipate, where somebody is coming and they are literally caught unawares. They are blindsided by this hit that takes place that they do not have an opportunity to prepare for. God wants you and I to be a people that are very much involved in preparation. So there, if you are going to build anything of substance, there is generally going to be a blueprint. There's going to be architectural and engineering feats that are going into that. If you're going to build anything that is going to last, if you're going to build anything that is going to have any value or be able to survive any storm, you have got to do the prep work first. The truth of the matter is the prep work isn't glamorous. I know a person, they were building a building and they had spent nearly $500,000 on prep work before they got to ever turn the first shovel of dirt. And don't you know that that's got to be a person who knows what the end result is going to look like if you're going to pay the price for preparation. So when the Spirit of the Lord speaks, don't ignore what he has to say. Pay attention. Make sure it lines up with the word. And if he says there's challenges coming, then you and I, we need to be prepared for just exactly that. I want to take you to Romans chapter 5 because there's another great truth that is in this passage. Along these lines, not in Acts, we're going to be in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. So if you're driving down the road, say, hey, this is good news. Verse number 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So when we look at Isaiah chapter 61 and we see the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, we have this promise that is told us in Romans chapter 5, that the Holy Spirit, when he is resting upon us, when he has been given to us, when he has been bestowed upon us, that he pours out in our hearts the love of God. He pours out the love of God upon us. And that's a tremendous thing. One of the most primary needs that human beings have is the need to be loved. The need to be loved. Specifically, we have a need to be loved by God. And when people reject the truth that God, that they have a created need, a void in their life that was designed only for the love of God to fill, when they reject the God of love as being capable of filling that, or they reject the change in lifestyle or the price tag of accepting the love of God, then they are left to try and fill that void with other things that they will call love. Now, I want you to understand that God is love. It doesn't say that money is love. It talks about the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so whenever you try and apply that emotion that was designed to be poured out upon God and you substitute it with the idol of wealth or money, and that can be if you're poor or if you're rich. I know rich people who are not enamored with money at all because they give it away in such vast quantities. They finance the kingdom of God. So money doesn't have a grip on them. It is not a sin to be wealthy. It is a sin to substitute the love of money for the love of God. I know poor people who don't have any money who are so bound by the lack of wealth that they see that they don't appreciate God at all. They are more bound by money than others who have money are. Now, I also know people who have loads and loads of money and they're completely obsessed with it and protecting it, and they are spending all sorts of money trying to hold on to something that has no eternal value. They have the love of money. I also know poor people who, even though, as E.V. Hill said, they don't have two food stamps to rub together. He was a preacher out in Los Angeles, and now they have SNAP cards and all of that sort of stuff, and so they don't have the actual food stamps the way that they used to. But they are not bound by money either. It does not have a grip on them. If they get it, they are thankful for it, but it is not the reason for their existence. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, he pours out the love of God upon our hearts. The Spirit of the Lord pours out the love of God in our hearts. And I will tell you this, when I know that I am loved by God, it is so reassuring. It is so confidence building to know that his love is not a fleeting love. It's not something that he's falling in of and falling out of. That's not what happens. It means that God's manifest presence is in my life because God is love. It's not that ooey-gooey emotional stuff that just because it makes me feel good, I'm loved. It's the type of love that says, look, when you're in the fiery furnace, I'm going to be in the fiery furnace with you. If you're going through a time of drought, I'm going to be there with you and I will sustain you. It's the love that says, I'm going to be with you in the good times. I'm going to be with you in the bad times. Some friends of mine, people that go to our church, they were telling me here just a week or so ago about people who were passing laws that were undermining the very foundation of love in a society and how heartbreaking it was. I haven't seen the story, but they were telling me what it was, and it was like, well, it's okay to do this as long as it's going to result in something being more profitable later on. And it's like, that's sad. Let me tell you a little bit about this verse, because I looked it up in my interlinear Bible, and this word that is talked about as being poured out, the love of God that's being poured out, it means to gush or to run greedily out. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you are baptized in the love of God. There is this inexhaustible supply of the love of God. It is not a rationed quantity. It's not a little dabble, do you? It's not, well, this person's going to get the love of God, but you're not going to get to experience it today because we've got to take our turns here. No, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, there's going to be a manifestation. There is going to be an abundance, that there's going to be a flood, if you will, that the pace of the love of God is going to come with such magnitude that you're not going to be able to contain it. And all of that happens because of the Spirit of God, which is given to us by the Father, that points us to Jesus. So, let me ask you this analytical question. How much is the love of God oozing out of every fiber of your being, every pore of your existence? How much of the love of God is flowing through your spirit right now? How much of the love of God is, are you experiencing the reality in your life and you're wanting it to impact those around you? You see, I think in reality, we need to be saying, God, would you pour out your Spirit? May it be said of me and may it be said of our church that the Spirit of the Lord God has been lavished upon us, poured out in abundance. It is coming at a record pace. It is coming in immeasurable quantities and at a speed that no one can fathom. The love of God is overwhelming us, because the Holy Spirit wants us to know that we are loved. That we are loved. If you are got your Bible there, you can turn over to Romans chapter 8, and it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Do you get that? You're a conqueror today because God loves you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, what? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit brings that love to us. It is the love of God that caused him to send his son. It is the love of God that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It is the love of God that constantly has Jesus interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. It is the love of God that has the Holy Spirit interceding for the perfect will of God for us. It is the love of God that loves us so much he doesn't want to see us perish. It is the love of God that causes people to come across our path to remind us that we are loved by him. It is the love of God that says you were meant for a higher existence than this. It is the love of God, the mercy of God that overwhelms us and it stops us in our tracks. It's the love of God that should cause the awe of God to rest inside of us and say, you know what? This is a great day no matter what happens. We are loved by God. So, what does your analysis look like? Are you reciprocating that immeasurable love that is flowing at a torrential speed to become a manifest reality in your life? Are you reciprocating that? Are you lavishing your love upon God in the same manner? Because I want to do that. I want to give back in the same manner. It says that we are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I want to make sure that I am fully engaged in the process. I don't just want to be doing it half-hearted, if you will. I don't want to just be going through the motions. I want to be loving God. Now, I know that Easter is just around the corner, and that is the greatest demonstration that you will ever behold that God loves you. Please understand today, please know that if you're doubting the love of God, that the Holy Spirit, you need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you because he's the one who causes the love of God to be dispersed without measure and at immeasurable speed, immeasurable quantities, immeasurable speed, so that you know that you know that you know that there's nothing that will ever separate you from this tremendous love of God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.